Rosh continues in Ois Chafei. Bahaskim Ba'omrocha. Decide convincingly when you say the words, as Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Levavecha, U'b'chol Nafshecha, U'b'chol Meyadecha, Nimsar Gufcha U'mamoincha Akilush Asai. That you're willing to give away your being and your property for Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha. Kiddush Hashem. By doing so, that when you think every time when you say Shema, that you're willing to give a Kiddush Hashem, you're going to fulfill the pasuk, Dibur Mishara, the pasuk of the Tehillim. So how can we be killed by Kadosh Baruch Hu the whole day? So I mean, Klai Yisrael, we could say there's constantly people, you know, being affected like that. But he's saying that the pshat, what he's understanding on the pasuk, is constantly during the day, a person is giving his being over to the Kiddush Hashem. We're willing to go, be killed for Kiddush Baruch if necessary. The concept of Kiddush Hashem, the Zohar says that the word Chil Hashem comes to the word Halal. That there's a, when he created the Bria, as Kaviyochel, he created a space where it seems to be possible to perceive that Kadosh Baruch Hu was not there. The space where Kadosh Baruch Hu was not there, Chas V'Shalom, I can do whatever I want. That's the world of Chilul, of Chalal, of a void, it's empty. Our avoda is to inject the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence back into that Malkum. That's a person's avoda. Batsim, that concept applies whether there's anybody present or not. A person sitting in the room contemplating doing something wrong. So he's sitting in this room and it's just him. Well, that's not true. It's just him and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's only two beings in that room, he and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he just perceives it's just him. So right now there's a halal. There's that void. When he stops, he decides to control himself and do what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from him. Even though nobody knows about it, he's injected the Kadosh Baruch Hu back into that malkum. But there's a pasuk when Dashi B'Sech Bani Yisrael to do that in the presence of a tzibur of Yisrael, then not only do I become more aware of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm able to express that to other people also, that they now also become more aware of Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence by the fact that this individual is willing to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence to the point to give up his life. There's a tremendous injection of Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence back into the world. So he does it in front of a tzibur, and he says Kadosh Baruch Hu is so real to him that nothing can budge him. So that's the madriga that a person should reach. Rav Volbo writes in Al Yishur and Chelik Beis, he has the Vadim on Amuna. He says a person's Amuna and a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be so neman, so convinced, so powerful. Says that even if he would picture himself being put down in some country where nobody else thinks like him, nobody else does like him, and he lives there for 20 years, and the whole of the 20 years the people are making fun of him and laughing at him and calling him stupid what he's doing, he doesn't budge an iota of what his reality is. That's what Emunah is supposed to be. That's what Emunah is, perfectly Nemo to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a tremendous madriga. I remember when I was young, I read a book called Sabota. Subbota. Sabbata. Sabbata is the Russian word for Shabbos. So this individual was a Chabad Chassid. He was in Russia under the communists, and they, you know, took him into jail for whatever, you know, excuse they had. They kept him in the system for 20 years. In the 20 years, he wasn't Mechal Shabbos once in the 20 years, and they tried to break him, and they weren't successful. And basically, the book basically read it was like a little bit excruciating to read. You know, each chapter would be that they took him to a new prison, and they felt that over there they're going to break him. They tried to break him, he refused. They put him did horrendous things to him. And at the end of the day, they gave up on him. They couldn't figure out how to do it, and they sent him out to the next place, between the next prison and the next place in Siberia. And he describes what they did to him: solitary confinement, which means they put him into a room which is 4 feet tall, about 3 feet wide, and about 5 feet long, for 3 months. He couldn't stand, he couldn't sit, he couldn't do anything normal for 3 months, all by himself. And he kept Shabbos, and he didn't eat treif, because Kadosh Baruch Hu was real. Right? To the point that nothing budged him. So that's the goal. Rav Volba comes along and says that he would make the following suggestion. We say in the mitzvah, we say twice a day, and we're thinking. Rosh says, "Think about So I have a better idea. We're ready to. Kadosh Baruch Hu is so real to us that we're going to commit to do what Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to do. We're ready to do that. But let's be honest with ourselves that the places we're grappling with are not Kipshon Eish. Kadosh Baruch Hu says a lot of things that we should be doing. He says like not battling during Seder." Person learning Torah is not supposed to battle. So a person should make a Kabbalah. B'shas, he's Mekabel Hashem Echad, that for an hour straight, he's not going to talk during anything other than learning. Now that already, you might say, that I'm not ready to do. Kibshon Eish, that I can handle. But to not talk for an hour, commit that Kadosh Baruch Hu is real, his presence is so real to me that I can control myself and not talk for an hour straight, no matter what, come what may, they're going to put the hot irons under my fingernails, I'm not going to talk during that hour. Right? Or they tell me interesting about the sports, I'm not going to talk about that during that hour. I'm not ready to do that. So that's my Kiddush Hashem. That's where I could have put the Kadosh Baruch Hu back into my life. I'm ready to do that. Maybe half an hour is the commitment. But that's the difference, he says, between a person who does it with frumkai and a person who does it with real musar. This is your Kabbalah Zomach HaShemayim. And you're ready to take, okay, this is where I am, and I'm ready to make that commitment that Kadosh Baruch Hu is real to me, that I'm going to do what I have to do, that level I can ready to do, but with emes. That's real avoider. That's not, the Kipshon Eish is, later, we shouldn't be put into, we should never be tested in such a terrible situation. But, Hashem will give us the law that a person's in that situation, he should have the siyata d'shmaya and the schus to be able to do that. But that's not what we're grappling with. That's not where our avoda is. Our avoda is much closer to home. And a person's supposed to do that b'simcha. I heard from a tape from Rabbi Zil Tauber, Shlita. So he said to Ramaisa that you hear from Michelber Weissmandel. The Michelber Weissmandel said that back in the city of Nitra, where Michelber was from Nitra, there was a Ger Tzedek. Now, Ger Tzedek in Europe was a very uncommon thing. The Jews were not treated very nicely in Europe. That person who became a Ger Tzedek was a tremendous thing. So this person, the war broke out, and he was there in Nitra, and his family, his non-Jewish family, went to the bishop and said, if we convince him to come back, will you guarantee that he'll be saved? He says, yes. So they went to him and they said that we spoke to the bishop and he guarantees if you, deny everything you've done and you throw all this nonsense off, we will guarantee you that you'll be saved. And he said that I was given the opportunity to be part of the Jewish nation, to be able to go to Al-Kiddush Hashem. I don't want to give that up for anything. And he was killed in the concentration. He was killed in Auschwitz. And people who were there who survived says that he danced into the for the schus. He was there for the schus to be able to go to Kiddush Hashem. He danced into the gas chamber. He was there to be killed at Kiddush Hashem. He's a yid. So they want to ask him, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? How do you decide, to leave this goyish world that everybody that we lived in and become a yid? A frum yid, with the chassidish looking yid. How'd you do it? So I'll tell you that I had business dealings with a lot of the Jews in the town, and they're my friends. We're friendly with them. We knew each other, etc. I thought I knew them. One year, Yom Kippur, I happened to walk by the shul, and I hear this wailing, and Europe and Yom Kippur, people cry there, they'd be wailing and screaming and crying from the shul. And I understood, they're praying, for the situation for the Jews is not a good situation. It says, I happened to come by a second time that day, just as the people were walking out of shul. Just as they were walking out of shul, I happened to walk by. And here's the people that were my business associates that I knew. They walked out and they looked like malachim. They looked like malachim. A person, Motzei Yom Kippur, walks out with that glow, that radiant glow of the kapora tahara of a yid. Motzei Yom Kippur, he davened, the Kadosh Baruch was there for him, and he felt that Rosh Hashem answered him, and he walks out with that glow. And I said, if there's a nation on this earth who can look like malachim, I want to be part of it. There was the Kiddush Hashem over there was a person did what he was supposed to do. You know, he was able to take that and go into a Kiddush Hashem. But a person took Yom Kippur seriously and gave it what it was. And so a goy could walk along and say, you know what? Wow, look what it means to be a Jew. I'm mitzar to that story, a different story. I was in Cleveland. I had one point in time, I had a medical thing which I had to go to a doctor on a weekly basis. The fellow's name was Bino Michel. V-E-N-O. So I don't know. No, I don't say the name Bino with the Jewish name. Didn't look necessarily Jewish. I never called him, the guy was Jewish. Went to him every week for about 6 months. The week before Rosh Hashanah, he says to me, L'shana tova seichah 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 seichah. I said, no, that's not, you know, the guy who picked up, you know, like, you know, kativa v'katima, you know, like, you know, this is like, L'shana tova seichah 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 seichah. Are you Jewish? He says, yeah, I'm Jewish. You know, so he's not schmoozing a little bit. So I urged him to come to a class, etc. Started schmoozing a little bit. So then he says to me, you know, Rabbi, I've had it with Orthodox Judaism. Why? Says he was young. He grew up like conservadox, etc. And he went to college. He went. He davened in the shul near the where he was in college, which was ostensibly an Orthodox congregation. And Motzei Yom Kippur, there was an argument which broke out among the members of the Mizrachfant, the elders of the congregation. Says, and it basically led to fisticuffs, to burden off of the fact that somebody intervened and stopped them. Says, if that's what a Jew can do, Motzei Yom Kippur, I don't want anything to do with it. Says, I'm out of here. And he walked out and became, you know, less than reform. So my aura, you know, is that how you act Motzei Yom Kippur can make a goy into a yid, or make a yid into a goy. The choice is ours. That's what the power of any moment, Batson. But the goal for ourselves is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is so real that we can move into doing what we have to do. No big things, but what we're supposed to do, the things we're supposed to do. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is real, he wants us to do them. And he's real enough, important enough to us that we're ready to do them. So the person thinks, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, instead of falling into the Kibshon, Hashem Echad, he's falling into the Kibshon Eish, Hashem Echad, I'm going to learn for a half an hour straight this morning without Batal. If he, you know, that's where he's ready to go. That's our goal. Those points, and a person builds on those points, and one day, you know, he says, you know, after a year of being honest, the Rambam writes in Pirkei Avot, he writes a nusach, he says a person should work on, you know, kavana. So he talks about having kavana in the first pasuk of Shema, working on that. He says, and after, you know, you get ruggle in that, like after a few years, he says, you can work on adding another pasuk. That's what the Rambam writes. He understands, he recognizes how hard it is for us to do these things. You know, it's not a game. It's hard. It is hard. But let's be honest with ourselves. We'll work it where it's hard and make a little movement forward, And then we'll actually be makabel, be makayim, avas Hashem, b'chol levavcho, b'chol nafshecho, b'chol midah.